Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome. This is the first Sunday of Advent. And we are delighted that you're here, and together we will encounter God in the Word, and in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. We have a new liturgy to carry us through Advent, so do pay attention to everything, because everything is slightly changed. But we begin this morning with the words printed in our bulletin. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I made.
The Lord is our righteousness. Let us wait with hope and expectation.
I invite all those who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Everlasting God,
you love justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess the fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation.
clothes you with garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all.
Amen. Christ, our Savior.
Welcome all my children. It's that time when you try and explain to the children what Advent means and what it means, why we have the season of Advent. And I wanted to, because of course we have to prepare for the miracle of Christmas. And so I wanted to demonstrate the importance of preparing with a little show intel of my old friend that I used to be able to play. His name is Bob. Now I cannot play anymore, really, but I was going to explain to them how, you know, you pick up the guitar, right, and you want to, like, just play. So how does this chord sound to everybody?
Ew.
Doesn't sound good. Why doesn't it sound good, people?
It's out of tune.
It's out of tune, right? And so the first thing you have to do if you want to play the guitar is you have to tune it. And so what do you have to do to tune it?
Twist
the little dials, right? But you got to do something with your ear. You got to listen. So let's listen. These two notes should be the same. Not the same, right? So then I have to tune it up, right? A little bit better. I don't know if you can hear this in the back. So Advent calls us to listen to the miracle that God is with us. It asks us to slow down. And this is the opportunity we have as we're preparing for this great Christmas miracle, the great miracle of Christmas, and all the wonderful things that Christmas comes. The first step is the step of Advent, which is just to slow down. Like preparing to play the guitar. We first have to listen. We got to sit in some silence. We got to welcome in the Christ child into our lives. So let us pray for him. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. Hear now the word. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word."
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 122. It's on page 5 of your bulletin. Read it with me. I'll read the light print, and please respond with the dark print. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself.
To which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, the assembly of Israel, to praise the name of the Lord.
For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you.
Peace be within your walls, and quietness within your towers.
For the sake of my kindred and companions, I pray for your prosperity.
Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13. Hear now the word. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what parts of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, it's always such a cheerful text, the first Sunday of Advent. And welcome to the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be journeying in Matthew now for the rest of the year. And we might ask, why do we get such an un-Christmas-like text this morning? And it's the same text every year. And it could be the time when I point out, because we're in Advent, not Christmas yet. And so I wanted to maybe explore that a little bit with you this morning. What is the meaning of those two words? What does even Christmas mean? What are we preparing ourselves for exactly? And I propose to you, the difference is not simply that we're waiting 4 weeks to celebrate. The meaning is much more important than the timing. So let's just ask ourselves then, what is the meaning of Christmas? That is going to be with us now for the next month. Just think of how many of our favorite stories and movies have the central question, what is the meaning of Christmas? For example, our favorite one, The Grinch, is that not the central question of that story? Is Christmas all about commercialism, or is it something more? Now, our culture might open the cultural definition of Christmas, and what might we get? We might get something like an event where family and friends get together and exchange gifts, right? I think we all sense, even the Grinch could sense that, is not quite the meaning of the day, right? But I wonder, is the church much better with it? We might say, for example, Christmas is the birthday of Jesus. Well, that's a little better, but I don't think that's the fullness of it. Christmas isn't really about something that happened 2,000 years ago, right? And we really will be reminded in this next month by countless articles on the news stands that Jesus probably wasn't actually born December 25th, right? Shocking, you all already know that, right? And that's my point. It doesn't matter that Jesus wasn't actually born on December 25th, because Christmas isn't actually about Jesus' birth. That's also maybe shocking and a gasp. I can't hear, I can't believe I heard a pastor say that. But what is Christmas really about? What is the fullness? And then we'll get to why we need the pageant. Well, welcome, as I said already, to the Gospel of Matthew. And in a little bit, we're going to get to really the first part of the Matthew, and he's going to talk about how an angel comes to Joseph, and it says, and the angel says his name is Emmanuel. That means God with us. And it's interesting, too, if you flip to the last verse in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is going to say, "Behold, I am with you to the end of the age." I hope you heard that. It's the same name. It starts with Emmanuel, God with you. And Jesus will end saying, "Emmanuel, I am Emmanuel, I am God with you." So I propose to you, if you want to understand the Gospel of Matthew this year, the key is right there. In literature, we call this a big word called an inclusio. You end where you begin, and everything else in the middle is included in those two bookends. The whole Gospel has but one point. God is with you. And this is the meaning of Christmas. It's not that Christ was born 2,000 years ago. It is that Christ is now living in you. And this might cause us to pause for a moment, and you might go, okay, but then what's the fuss about? Why do we do all the pageantry? Why is it special then? Listen, you're telling me this all the time, Pastor John. So why is Christmas any different? Well, friends, it's because we don't understand what it means that God is with us. We don't grasp the mystery, the wonder, the amazing. Amazing meant I can't talk today. The radical awesomeness, the transformation that this knowledge that God is with us could have. It is like trying to drink out of the ocean. It is so vast and so deep and beyond anything we can comprehend. So the best you can do is sip at it, taking it in one little sip at a time. And so, friends, we need sacred spaces, sacred objects, sacred time, sacred rituals. We need sacred stories to help us get a little sip of the wonder and the majesty and the radicalness. And Christmas offers us this opportunity. Because, you know, it always feels different at Christmas, doesn't it? When we're in here filled to the brim and the candles are lit and Silent Night is being said and almost everyone has a tear in their eye and you grasp for a moment what it means that heaven and earth are joining together. That's the story. I'm going to say it a lot in the next 4 weeks. Heaven and earth are coming together in the Christ child. But equally, it comes together in you. And so we turn to Christmas Eve, to these magical moments in our church year, to get a glimpse of what heaven and earth means. And then hopefully, once we realize, if we can see that that is the true reality, then we can use that unveiling to transform the rest of the year. And so, we get a warning in our text today too, which is, you got to get ready for it, or you might miss it. And this is hard because we're in the busy season now, too, right? We can fill this next month with buying things and being busy and doing things and having a nonstop schedule of things to things to things. And we can miss the opportunity to prepare our hearts to glimpse what it means that we are a place that heaven and earth meet together. And I say this gently, friends, because I know, and you all know, my schedule is going to be as busy as yours. So maybe I'm preaching to myself this morning. And maybe we can all be enter into this invitation of Advent. Just even in the midst of all of our busy lives and our busy things and all the Christmassy things we have to get done, please, friends, tune up your guitar a little bit. Find some time to listen and prepare. Because we want to enter into the 24th with a full heart, a ready heart, to glimpse the mystery. We don't want to enter in and have that be the one last thing that we can check off on our checklist and then be done with it. So, may we be invited into this mystery. The Christ child is coming. The Christ child is already here. Let us glimpse what that means. And you know, it's not the 25th that the Christ child just comes. The Christ child comes every Sunday at our table. Here is Emmanuel as well. God for you. This time in bread and wine poured out for you. Come, take, touch, eat. And maybe also, friend, Christmas can also help us understand the meaning of this day. Friends, the love and life of Christ is here for us, in us. May we journey this season and learn to grow into what that means. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
In our waiting and watching, we come to you in prayer, O God, trusting your promise to renew the church, the nations, and the whole creation. God of the people, we come seeking wisdom and instruction. Uphold and strengthen lay leaders, teachers, deacons, pastors, and bishops. Teach us your ways and lead us in your paths. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of the earth, we seek your goodness in the grandeur of creation. Empower us to care for forests and oceans as we see you in the world around us. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of the nations, grant wisdom to leaders, judges, and mediators. Cast out words of hate and transform them into words for building up community. Remake implements of war to sow peace. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of healing, bring comfort and strength. We pray for our kindred and companions who are ill or despairing, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalea, Ed, Steve, Jean, Sabine, and Jean. For those affected by HIV and AIDS, as we remember World AIDS Day, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Surround all with care and consolation, God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
God of new possibilities, when addiction wounds, jealousy tears down, and relationships fray, show us how to journey with one another. Nurture therapists, counselors, and sponsors in their care for others. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of all time, build up our lives that we would reflect your grace. At the last, bring us with all the saints to your holy city, where peace and goodness make a home. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Draw near to us, O God, as we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us now to come back together and please stand for our offering hymn. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness to all people, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Gathered in one, let us pray as our Savior has taught us. Our Father
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people of God, and all are welcome at this table, and all means all, which means all, and if you're in here, you're part of the all. You are all welcome to come. We ask that you fill in, if the time comes, our communion rail from the right to the left. You may stand or kneel, whichever is comfortable to you. We only ask that you reach out and extend your hands and the bread will be given to you. And then when the wine comes around, to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. Also, it is the last Sunday of the month. It is also the first Sunday of Advent. And what a cool time also to remember that the last Sunday of the month is also our healing service in the back. So if you like prayers and anointing of oil, Sabina is in the back at our baptismal font. They'll come forward for a meal, go back for some oil. All are welcome to come. All are invited to this table. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, in bread and cup, you have revealed your glory for all people to see together. Nourished by this meal, send us out to proclaim your good news of liberation and release, brought to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Friends, we pause now for some announcements, and well, it's going to be a long pause. So buckle up your seat. So first, we just want to highlight a few things. Lots of things going on this week, including our Wednesday Advent Hold an Evening service. And we're going to have a simpler meal than our simple meal before, on our previous monthly meals. So we'd like to invite everyone who wants to come for an intimate, devotional, simpler meal. Thinking a couple of appetizers, maybe a little something that's tasty and sweet, and meet upstairs in the conference room for a little bit, some intimate time and some fellowship and a little devotion and some slowing down for Advent. So that when we come and hold an evening at 7, our hearts could be more full. So if that is enticing to you, to slow down and have some fun and fellowship, that will be at 6 on Wednesday. And also, I want to highlight again, I do this a lot, but we have that contemplative prayer session on Wednesday at noon. Now, if you're on the fence about contemplative prayer, well, Advent gives you an opportunity now. 4 weeks, you just commit for 4 weeks. Come and try it out, friends. So if you'd like an actual discipline to sit in silence in Advent, I do highlight that for your consideration. We have lots of more things to say. The next few things that will be said by Sally.
Lots of friends, so everybody doesn't have to turn their heads. And I don't need a microphone.
Yes, you do. You need another video. The people on the video need
to like five, really. If you can't hear me, raise your hand, right?
No, the people on the video can't hear you, Sally.
Oh, the people on the video.
Thank you.
Right. Here I am. You'll be sorry. Anyway, it's Advent, and I know many of you, like me, turn to ways that we can be giving, and especially giving to those in need and those in our community. And so again, Social Ministry is hosting 3 different ways, and you can do 1, 2, or 3, or none, for you to give. The first is that we are going to have a giving tree. You probably noticed a little Christmas tree as you came in. This year we're sponsoring 2 families who live at Samaritan House. And so if you'd like to buy a gift or gifts for the families, take one or more of the tags from the giving tree and write your name by the number that corresponds with the tag on the paper by the tree so we can keep track of you. That's important for us. And please don't wrap your gifts, but you can put them in a gift bag or a box and tape your tag to your gift. Don't lose your tag. Tape it to your gift. And then leave them under our larger tree in the narthex by the night of the 17th. I'm to deliver them to Samaritan House on the 18th. So if that's something you like to do, it's ready to go. The second one is our reverse Advent calendar. Some of you who have been here a while may remember that Gene Amundsen started this tradition, where every day of Advent, instead of or including opening the door and getting the chocolates, I heard Randy's already on day 17, you can give food to those in need by putting a shelf-staple item in a wrapped box or in a bag and leaving it by the barrel after Christmas, anytime after Christmas Eve. We have calendars in the waves and hard copies of calendars over by our giving tree. If you want ideas of shelf-staple food to put in your Advent box, and otherwise, you know, just anything that you think people would enjoy eating. And the third thing is that we're going to do a kind of a special stone soup, since our stone soup is on the 22nd of December. And many of you know we do 140 meals for Stone Soup. The need is great. And when we talked about what we'd want to do, we thought, oh, ham and mashed potatoes and gravy and some sides. And Melody said, you can't do this without homemade Christmas cookies. So we're asking folks to donate Christmas cookies. Sandy has some tubs you can pick up and just put Stone Soup on a post-it note, put it on top of your box of cookies. We'd like to give two to each person, so that adds up to a whopping 280 Christmas cookies. So we'll see how we do. Hopefully everyone will get two Christmas cookies. And I understand Pastor and Pastor Judith are going to have a little Christmas service after the Stone Soup on that Monday for those who want to stay or those who want to attend. So those are our social ministry gifts to you as gifts of giving. Thank you.
So speaking of cookies, next week we're decorating the Christmas tree. So bring your favorite Christmas cookies for that as well. And if you're baking for next week, just bake it twice. And we'll freeze the rest. Second and thirdly, and then the invitation is now thrown out. We are having a Christmas service with the Stone Soup people on our Monday of Stone Soup. It's not just open to whoever's going to be there. If you'd like an encounter, a Christmas encounter with that larger community, come on that Monday. And if you do help out with Stone Soup, I especially invite you to come worship with the whole community. I told you to buckle up. Now, varsity.
So you read in Words of the Week that Jean Amundson was in ICU, and I wanted to give those of you who aren't on her email list a little bit of an update. I think it started maybe last Saturday. She she wasn't feeling right, so they called the ambulance, and she was transported to the Albany Hospital and put in ICU. It turned out it was AFib. And she was there for a few days and probably trying medication and stuff to get it going on. And then that wasn't working. And so I think it was on Thursday, she was transferred to the Corvallis Hospital. And she had a cardioversion on Saturday. And what it says, it seems it had been successful. Her heartbeat is stable and back in normal range. And the two cardio doctors are pleased with the outcome. So the plan is, if everything continues to go well, that she's going to go home today. My gut tells me she and Paul has been staying with Marlis, so he's had good care. And my gut feeling is that she and Paul might go to Marlis's for a couple of days, and then before they go home and have to do it on their own. So they are still asking for prayers, and I will keep folks updated. And if you really want to be on the, you know, get the emails from Marlis, let me know and I'll forward them to you. Thanks.
May the God of peace bless you. The love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit remain upon you now and forever.